Well, good morning. Wonderful to be here with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And that's where our study is going to be located mostly today. And while you're turning there, just let me say a special welcome to all of our guests that are here, those who are visiting family, who have come in from out of town, maybe those who are visiting from the community. We're so glad that you're here, and we'd ask that you'd make sure and stick around, maybe just for a little bit, so we can get to know you a little bit better. We always love to meet new people here in this church family. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19, the Bible says this: "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Brothers and sisters, as I'm sure you well know, it is the holiday season. It is the time when families gather together and when we have great reunions. It's the time of giving and receiving gifts. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. It's the time of giving and receiving gifts. And it's a wonderful time of year, isn't it? It's a wonderful time of year when we see people reaching into the depths of their generosity and giving to others from the heart. It's a beautiful thing to see. Especially when those gifts that we give are given without expecting to receive anything in return. It's a wonderful thing to see when we see people emulating what Jesus said, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a wonderful time of year. But even when we give gifts without expecting to receive any gift in return, when we give gifts, we always do have a certain expectation and a certain hope, don't we? I may give you a gift, and I may not expect you to give me a gift in return, but I do have an expectation. I hope that when I give you a gift, that you'll use it. I hope that you'll use it. I'll hope that you enjoy it. I hope that when I give you a gift, you'll make the most of it. Do you agree with that? That's what you expect. That's what you hope when you give a gift. If I get Leah a necklace for Christmas, then what do I want her to do? Well, I want her to wear it. And if I get a tool for Christmas from Leah, then what does she expect? Well, she expects that I'll find a use for it and it won't just sit in the garage collecting dust, which, guys, some of them do. And if I buy Ellison a milkshake, man, I want her to drink every last drop, all the way down to the slurps at the bottom of the cup. I want her to enjoy it. That's what we want when we give gifts, isn't it? That's what we expect. That the person receiving my gift will use it and enjoy it and make the most of it. And I want you to appreciate this morning that God has the same hope when he gives gifts. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we read this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That's what we learn about Christ. I mean, that's what we know about God from the book of Ephesians, that God is a giver of wonderful gifts. He has given us the best gifts the world has ever seen by giving us those spiritual blessings in Christ. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that while God does give wonderful gifts, he is like you and me. In that when he gives a gift, he hopes that it will be used. He cares how his gifts are received. He wants us to use his gifts, to enjoy his gifts, and to make the most of them. And so here's the question I want to put before you this morning. Here's what I want you to be thinking about today and in the coming week as we go through this wonderful holiday season. I want you to think about this. Am I making the most out of the gifts that God has given me? Am I making the most out of the gifts that God has given me? Because just like any physical blessing that you may get during the holiday season, the gifts that God gives us can be tremendous blessings. We can use them and enjoy them and get so much good out of them. But at the same time, if we choose not to receive them or not to use them, then we can squander them and they can be worthless to us. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning for just a little bit. This morning, I want to talk about the greatest gift that God ever gave. And I want to talk to you about how we as Christians can make the most out of God's greatest gift. That study begins in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. I'm thankful to Carson. He did such a good job this morning. He did a little bit of my legwork for me. So Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Let's read what the Bible says there. It says, "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." I want you to hone in there on what the writer says in verse 4. He says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. As Carson talked about during the communion meditation this morning, he told us that under that Old Testament system, under that Israelite system, the people offered animals. They sacrificed animals to God to cover their sins year by year. But the Bible tells us that never was enough. It was never good enough to offer sacrifices that way. No matter how many animals they killed, it could not pay for their sins. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to do that. And I'd like you to appreciate this morning that the same is true for us. What that passage tells us in essence is that there is not the power within us. We do not have the ability, no matter what we do, we do not have the ability to cleanse our own sins or to make up for the way that we've fallen short of the glory of God. We can't do that. That power is not in us. You know, verse 4 reads, "It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." I wonder if the writer of Hebrews were writing that passage today, how he might render it. Because we don't try to cleanse our sins with the blood of bulls and goats today, do we? I mean, maybe somebody does, but nobody in my neighborhood does. Like, I don't know where you're living, but not where I live, okay? Nobody tries to do that. But you know that there are certain ways that mankind, we are tempted to think that the power is in us, that there is something we can do that will make us good enough to cleanse our sins. So how might that read if it read in 21st century American? "For it is impossible for acts of charity and generosity to take away sins." Doesn't matter how much money you give or how philanthropic you are, it can't take your sins away. "It is impossible for good deeds, deeds of love and encouragement and comfort, to take away sins." It doesn't matter how much you love people, it can't make up for your sins. "For it is impossible for good behavior to take away sins." It doesn't matter how holy you live this week, still not enough to wipe the sins off your soul. "For it is impossible for church attendance to take away sins." It doesn't matter if you're here every Sunday morning. It doesn't matter if you show up for Bible class, right, tonight at 5. It doesn't matter if you show up for Bible class tonight at 7 too. And it doesn't matter if you go to every single personal Bible study that's going on in people's homes throughout the week. It is impossible for church attendance or Bible study attendance to take away sins. "It is impossible for a non-judgmental, tolerant, and accepting spirit to take away sins." That's what some people believe. All right, I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm just going to accept everybody and be okay with everything that everybody does. And if I do that, then God will be good with me. Well, that's not really how it works. It is impossible. It is impossible for us to cleanse our own sins. The power is not in us. And that's why God gave us a gift. He gave us the greatest gift he's ever given. He gave us the blood of Christ. And he gave us that gift because it is the only thing. It is the only thing powerful enough. It's the only thing strong enough to really be able to wash our sins away. Look at what he says. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 10. It says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And look at what he says there in verse 18 to close out this passage. He says, now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. The writer of Hebrews tells us that it was not in us to cleanse our own sins. And so God gave us a gift, the greatest gift he'd ever given, the blood of Jesus, to wash those sins away. Through his blood, it's possible for our sins to be blotted out. It's possible for our sins to be redeemed. It's possible for our sins to be forgotten by God and for us to be fully reconciled to him. And I ask you this morning, that's the gift that God has given. Have you made the most of it? Have you used it? Do you enjoy that blessing? Have you made the most of God's greatest gift? Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, one thing that we need to know, we need to be very clear about, is that there is something we must do in order to receive this gift. And just like any gift that we may give in the physical world, we cannot be blessed by this gift if we do not receive the gift that God has given. And so the Bible has told us, we're told in the Bible exactly what we must do in order to gain the benefit of Christ's blood. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the Bible says this, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how God tells us to respond. That's how God tells us what we must do to receive the gift of Jesus' blood in order to be blessed by Jesus' blood. He says you must repent of your sins and you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of those sins. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, the Bible will also say this, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. In order to receive the gift of Jesus' blood, we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins. And so allow me this morning, with full love in my heart, to offer you the clearest warning that I possibly can offer. If you are sitting here today and you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you need to know that you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need to know that your sins have not been washed away. It doesn't matter what else you've done. It doesn't matter the good deeds of charity that you've done. It doesn't matter how holy you try to live your life. If you have not been baptized, then you don't have the blessing of Jesus' blood. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so I encourage you that if you're sitting here today and you have not received the grace of God through baptism in water in the name of Jesus, do what you must do today to receive and to make the most of that greatest gift. Don't wait one more moment to receive the grace of God. Now that sounds like a very good ending to a sermon, doesn't it? But I'm not quite done yet. You know, the truth is that many of us here have done just that. Many of the people here have repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus. And because of that, we have been cleansed from our sins. But I want you to hear me now when I say this. Even if you've been baptized in your past, even if you have that redemption that Jesus gives you, God still intends for you to be able to use and enjoy the gift of Jesus' blood. Understand that Jesus' blood is not like, it's not a single use gift, right? It's not like a K-cup where you use it once and then you throw it away. And it's unnecessary anymore. God intends for the blood of Jesus to be reusable. He intends for it to bless us every single day, again and again and again and again. And that ultimately, brothers and sisters, is what Hebrews 10 and verses 19 through 25 are all about. You know, when the writer wrote these verses, he was not writing to people who had not been saved. He was writing to people who had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he was telling them how they could use the blood of Jesus and be blessed by the blood of Jesus every single day of their lives. And so that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning before we close. It's how even as a Christian who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, what do I need to do? How can I make the most of Jesus' blood every single day? Consider what he says. Consider what he says in Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19, he says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a high priest, a great high priest over the house of God." What I want you to see, brothers and sisters, is that one way the blood of Jesus blesses us every single day is by giving us unlimited access to God. Because of Jesus and because of his blood, we have unlimited access to God. Notice what he says here in these verses. He says, because we've been washed in the blood, we have confidence to enter the holy place. And that's full of Old Testament imagery. That has everything to do with what's going on with the Israelites back in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had the temple, right? And within the temple, they had the holiest place on earth, right? They had the Holy of Holies, because that's where God's presence dwelt among his people. And of course, the Holy of Holies was not some place you could just walk into. It was a place that was shrouded with a huge veil, and that only one person was allowed to enter only one time every year after he had performed all kinds of rites and rituals and cleansings and purifications. And the people were not to enter the Holy of Holies under pain of death because a man who was not cleansed of his sins was unholy and could not stand in the presence of God and live to tell the tale. That's how it worked in the Old Testament. But notice what he says here in Hebrews chapter 10. Because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, we have the right to stand in the presence of God. We can throw back the veil and walk and come into his presence without fear of death because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that, brothers and sisters, has a very real and tangible application to us. I want you to consider what that means when it comes to the idea of prayer. Understand, brothers and sisters, that now that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have unlimited access to God. We can come before his presence and we can make our petitions before him. We are not separated from him. His ear is attentive to our call. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we're encouraged, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what the writer is telling us to do. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. God hears your prayers. So come before Him. You have unlimited and unfettered access to the Lord of the universe, who wants to give you every good and perfect gift, if only you would bow on your knees and ask. Can I ask you this morning, as those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, you have unlimited access to God and His help through prayer. Are you making the most? Are you taking advantage of that wonderful gift? You know, it is a blessing to be able to call on someone when you need help, isn't it? We all have certain people that we call when we're in trouble or when we need advice. If maybe you're a young college student, right? And whenever you get in trouble, whenever you need to fix a flat and you've never done that before, who do you call? Yeah, you call Papa, right? You call Dad, right? Or maybe you know, there's somebody that's a friend, a longtime friend who has kids who are the same age as yours. And when you're struggling with your kids, it's so nice to be able to pick up the phone and call them and ask them, hey, what do you do with your kids? Because I'm struggling with mine. As a preacher, one of the greatest blessings I have is to be able to call some of my fellow workers who are much older than me and to be able to ask their advice about different things, different passages, different situations. I used to do that all the time. I used to do that all the time with Brother D. Bowman. Anytime I'd have a question, anytime I'd want some advice, or anytime I just wanted to share a funny story, really, I'd give him a call, and it was nice. It was nice to give him a call and be able to talk to him and be able to access his help. And yet, with any of those situations, you and I both know that there are limits to that, aren't there? You call your daddy to help you change a tire. Well, if your daddy's in Colorado, there's only so much he can do. And as I've realized this year, there are limits when your friends pass away. My brother D, he passed away this year, and I can't call him anymore. I can't reach out to him. I can't ask his advice. I can't call on him for help. I can't make the most of that relationship anymore. So whenever we call on people, we understand there are limits. That to some degree, our access is limited. They can't do everything that we need them to do always. They can't always pick up the phone, and they're not always going to be there. But it's different when it comes to prayer, and it's different when it comes to God. Because through the blood of Jesus, we have unlimited access to the most powerful being in the universe, an omniscient God who knows everything and is everywhere, who will never die. Are you truly using and making the most of that wonderful privilege of prayer? And understand this as well. He'll go on to say this. This is another way we can make the most of the blood of Jesus. He says in verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that not only does Jesus' blood give us unlimited access to God, but it gives us full assurance of faith. And what that means, brothers and sisters, is because of Jesus' blood, I can live totally assured, completely confident about where I stand with God. I don't have to worry about how judgment day is going to go if I'm a Christian. And that's true for two reasons. That because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I can be fully assured that all of the sins that I've committed in my past, no matter how ugly, no matter how grotesque, whatever I've done in the past, I can be sure that Jesus' blood was enough to cleanse that. I don't have to live with that regret. I don't have to live with that pain. I don't have to carry it anymore, because Jesus took care of that when he died on the cross. And it's also true because I know that Jesus' blood is enough to cleanse whatever sins I commit in the future. In 1 John 1, in verse 9, we are told that if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I'm willing to confess and repent of the sins I commit, he will wash them again and again and again and again. I've said it before, and I'll probably say it a million more times. But when we are baptized, it is not a second chance at a perfect life. It is me and God entering a new deal, a new agreement. Under the old agreement, the deal was, if you sin, you die. But now that I'm a Christian, the deal is different. If you sin, you have the blood of Jesus whenever you need it. And it can take care of your sins, no matter what it is, so long as you're willing to confess them and repent of them. I always, always have access to the blood and the cleansing that it provides. Jesus' blood gives us full assurance of faith. Do you, maybe, probably the women wouldn't understand this very well. They're probably going to roll their eyes when I say this, but I think a lot of the guys are with me on this. Do you have a household cleaner closet that's totally like, confusing to you? Do you know what I'm talking about? We have this room. It's our laundry room, and there's this panel of cleaners in these little baggies on the back of the door. And there's all kinds of cleaners, right? And they're all kinds of different colors. They all got all kinds of different words on them, and like a stain remover, powerful puncher, something like that. And they're all kinds of different cleaners. And I don't know. I walk in there, I'm totally confused. Like the dog vomits on the carpet. I'm like, Leah, I have no idea what to grab. And she always knows what to grab. But I'll tell you what I used to do. Every time I had to clean anything up, it didn't matter what it was. You're mopping the floor, or you're cleaning the sink, or you're cleaning the windows, or you're wiping up a stain off the carpet. I always did the same thing. I grabbed the Windex, right? Every single time. It didn't matter what it was. If there's anything that happened, any kind of stain, Windex, right? I'm always using the Windex. And for some reason, I grew up and I thought Windex was just the all-purpose cleaner. No matter what you did, you just put Windex on it and it was fixed. Obviously, that's not the way it works when it comes to stains and cleaning. But I want you to understand that that's the way it works with Jesus' blood. That whatever the stain, whatever the sin, whatever the transgression, Jesus' blood is there and Jesus' blood will take care of it. He gives us full assurance of faith. Full assurance. That means calm confidence. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' blood makes it possible for the Christian to not live in fear of judgment. Jesus' blood makes it possible for us to not live with any guilt. Jesus' blood makes it possible for us to not live with eternal uncertainty. You, if you're a Christian, should have no question and no doubt about where you're going to spend eternity, because you have the blood of Jesus that you can apply to your sins whenever it's needed. Now, to be clear, that does not mean that we should treat Jesus' blood as a get-out-of-jail-free card. And there are some people who would try to do that over the centuries. We read about a couple of them in Jude verse 4, where he talks about people who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. People who say, oh, if God will just forgive everything, then I'm just going to sin as much as I can. And later on in Hebrews chapter 10, he's going to address those people. He says this in Hebrews 10 and verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. We don't use God's grace. We don't use Jesus' blood as a license to do wrong. And for those who do use it that way, the gift means nothing. He says there's no longer any sacrifice for that. But the Bible teaches us, for those who are soft-hearted, for those who are willing to confess their sins and truly repent and strive to do better, that sacrifice remains. Jesus' blood it gives us full assurance of faith. Can I ask you this morning, are you making the most of that wonderful gift? Consider this with me finally in Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25, he'll say this, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Bible teaches me that as soon as I'm washed in the blood, I am added to the family of God. We all become brothers and sisters in Christ because we all share the same dad. We all share the same elder brother, Jesus. We are united with a common salvation toward a common purpose. And this family that God has given us, it is meant to be a blessing to us. He talks about that here in these verses. You see what he said? We encourage and stimulate one another to love. By being part of this family, you help me learn how to love. And that's a tremendous blessing. We stimulate one another to good deeds. You help me. You help me see what I need to do and how I can improve and how I can be a more loving and caring and compassionate person who does good for others. And you encourage me. You encourage me to continue in my walk with God, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what kinds of obstacles I face. You encourage me to have endurance. I get all of those things as a result of being part of a spiritual family in Christ. God wants us to make the most of our family of faith. Let me ask you this morning, are you making the most of that blessing? Do you appreciate your church family? Do you use your church family? Do you make the most of them? You know, I wonder what would happen if we truly treated our spiritual family the way we treated our physical families. You know, we lean on family when we're experiencing hard times, aren't we? If you're having trouble with something, if you come upon hard times financially or emotionally or with something, who do you reach out to? Well, you call your family first, don't you? And if you're struggling with something in your life, you go to your family and you make time for your family too, don't you? You make sure you spend time with them. You show up for family reunions. You truly love your family despite their warts and despite their imperfections. And when you really are in trouble, who do you go to before you go to anybody else? Well, you go to family, don't you? You call your mom, you call your dad, you call your brother. I wonder what would happen if we treated our spiritual family the same way we treated our physical families. What if when I needed comfort and support, instead of trying to do it all by myself, I let go of my pride and I really did lean on you? That's what you're here for. And what if instead of being so busy with all the different things in life and getting distracted, I made time for you? My spiritual family, to see you, to get to know you, to learn about you. And what if when I really was in trouble spiritually, when some sin was just beating me down and I was struggling to overcome it, what if I really did go to you and do what we did 2 weeks and do what we talked about 2 weeks ago and create that culture of accountability where I truly go to you and I tell you about my sins and I lay it all out for you? Because brothers and sisters, when you know about that, you can help me. There is power in the body of Christ. And the question is, are you really tapping into it? You know, throughout this entire section of Scripture, the writer has never told us what not to do. It's all been positive commands. Do this, do this, do this, do this. That is until we get to verse 25 when he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important, I think, to read that verse in context. Because when he writes that, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, he's not saying the Lord commands you to come to worship services. I mean, that practically that's how it works out, but that's not really the gist of the passage. The gist of the passage is, with all the wonderful blessings that you have when you have a spiritual family in Christ, Why would you forsake this? He says, don't miss out on this. Be a part of your family. Lean on them. Seek them. Use them. Don't miss out. Don't squander the wonderful blessing that your church family is. Are you making the most of that wonderful blessing? In Jesus' blood, God has given us the greatest gift He's ever given to anyone. But as we said before, that blessing depends on how we receive it, how we respond to it. His blood, it can only change our lives if we choose to use it, enjoy it, and make the most of it. And that's what I encourage you to do. Make the most of God's greatest gift today. And so maybe you're at the end of your wits with worry, with fear, with anxiety, because of all the different things you're worried about in life. Use the blood of Jesus today. Use that unlimited access you have to God and pray to Him. Or maybe you live with perpetual uncertainty. You live in constant fear that you're not going to be good enough to make it to heaven when you die. Use the blood of Jesus today and be assured of your salvation in Christ. Or maybe you're at the end of your strength. You've tried so hard to do all kinds of different things. You just feel crushed and you feel alone. Use the blood of Jesus today. Use the family that Christ created in His blood. Lean on them for their support. Or maybe you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you realize that you have not had your sins washed away, and you do not have the hope of heaven because your sin remains. If that's you, use the blood of Jesus today. We can help you do that, or if we can help with anything else, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.